Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. By the way, every Tuesday at noon, and today is Tuesday, on our politics website, itsafreecountry.org, hosts an online politics chat. WNYC fans, experts, reporters, and more get together to discuss the big issues of the day. This is a text-based chat, so you can join from any computer coming up in about a half an hour. Today, we'll take on New Jersey politics. Chris Christie, property taxes, public pensions, Newark policing, and last night's season premiere of Real Housewives with New Jersey. Well, maybe that doesn't count as politics, but hey, I'm not the moderator. So get together and chat today at noon on our politics site, itsafreecountry.org. It has been a 17-year-long legal battle for the people of the Ecuadorian Amazon. Nearly four decades ago, contamination from Texaco's oil exploration in the northeastern region of Ecuador left waste pits in the jungle there. A lawsuit filed in 1993 represented 30,000 people and alleged that the 17 million gallons of crude oil and nearly 20 billion gallons of toxic wastewater in an area roughly the size of Rhode Island wasn't cleaned up as Texaco said it was. But Chevron, which bought Texaco in 2001, has denied any involvement in the cleanup or the spill and maintains that the company has no responsibility to pay up. An Ecuadorian judge ruled in February that they are responsible to the tune of $18 billion, one of the highest judgments in an environmental case ever. The international legal dispute, one which involves secret memos, high cancer rates, and allegations of fraud in foreign courts, took another step forward last week when a court of appeals here in New York weighed in. The appeals process promises to drag this lawsuit out further, as if 17 years is not a long enough wait for a final decision. Joining me now to talk about the court case of Aguinda versus Chevron is Humberto Piaguaje, representative of the Sequoia indigenous people of the Ecuadorian Amazon. He is here in New York in our studio. And Mitch Anderson, corporate campaigns director at the group Amazon Watch, which advocates in situations like this. Mitch Anderson will be translating for Humberto, who is here in the U.S. with other leaders from the Amazon, visiting New York, D.C., and the Chevron headquarters in California. Welcome, both of you, Mitch and Humberto, to WNYC. Hello.
Thank you for having us on the program.
And Humberto, let me ask you first. The New York Times reported that the only detail in the case which is not disputed is that both parties can agree that the oil exploration in the Ecuadorian Amazon ruined the jungle there. So tell us about the area that you live in. What was it like before Texaco started drilling there, and what is it like now? What was it before Texaco started drilling, and what is it like now?
Muchas gracias por esta oportunidad y felicitaciones a su programa.
You're welcome for the opportunity.
Thank you very much for having us on the show, and congratulations.
Bueno, los daños son muchísimos que han ocasionado en nuestra Amazonía. Yo soy de la selva y he nacido, he vivido mucho tiempo allí. Y está, se ha contaminado todo lo que es la Amazonía.
The damages that have been caused by the oil company in our lands has been very great. I was born in the jungle. It's very remote and was pristine, and now it's been devastated.
What would visitors see as evidence that the cleanup did not work?
Y gente que va a visitar ahí a Ecuador, ¿qué verán si van ahí?
La gente que se van a visitar allá, lo que van a encontrar es el desastre ambiental ocasionado por Texaco.
What visitors would see is just an environmental disaster that Chevron caused in our homelands.
Mitch, there's a complicated relationship between the courts of both countries, and a decision last week from the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit here in New York was a victory for the Ecuadorian side. What kind of victory? What happened here in New York, and what does it mean?
Yeah, so what you have right now is basically an American company, Chevron, which created a massive environmental disaster in the homes and the ancestral territories of six different indigenous tribes in the remote Ecuadorian Amazon, condemning people for the last three decades now to massive suffering, a public health crisis. And in February of this year, an Ecuadorian court, as you mentioned, ruled against Chevron, saying that they're liable for upwards of $18 billion. Now, the company is spending hundreds of millions of dollars on high-powered law firms, public relations firms, in order to avoid accountability, trying to distract from the real issue. Now, Chevron recently, a judge in New York actually issued a preliminary injunction, basically Judge Kaplan saying that the verdict in Ecuador can't be enforced, around the world. Now, there was a recent decision by an appellate court here in the Second District basically saying that Judge Kaplan's ruling or his preliminary injunction was overreaching, was too broad, and basically, I think, providing, an avenue for the plaintiff's lawyers and Patton Boggs to enforce this decision.
But my understanding is, that Chevron has no assets in Ecuador. Mm-hmm. So there's no way to force payment unless what? The United States government compels Chevron to pay?
Well, Chevron has assets all around the world. Now, the law firm Patton Boggs, which the Ecuadorians have hired, after the verdict, they drew up a legal memorandum called Invictus, which essentially outlined all of the different potential avenues that the Ecuadorian plaintiffs can enforce this decision around the world, potentially seizing Chevron's assets in many different venues.
Umberto, do you have hope of ever seeing resolution?
Si tienes esperanza de ver una resolución a ese caso.
Yo creo que se ha determinado en el Ecuador ya una sentencia, y eso significa que es culpable Chevron. Entonces, solo que ellos tienen que sentir de su corazón que no estamos pidiendo por gusto, es por justicia a los derechos humanos que ha ocasionado daño en nuestra cultura y en nuestra selva.
We believe that the verdict in Ecuador that our judge emitted shows that Chevron is guilty, and we now think that Chevron must, in their hearts, realize that we're not asking for justice just because we want to, but because it's necessary, it's needed.
We're talking about staggering sums of money. $18 billion with a B, and the plaintiffs are actually seeking $113 billion. If you get the money, Umberto, what would it be used for? What would it change?
Y con el dinero que puede salir de ese juicio, ¿cómo lo van a usar? ¿Qué cambiaría?
Nosotros en la sentencia también estima que el fondo va a ser bajo fideicomiso, bajo fiduciaria, y va a ser manejado por la junta directiva de los asamblea de afectados, sobre todo los mismos afectados, y va a ser cosas que está estimado a la salud, a la reparación de los daños ambientes, el agua y también lo que es la implementación a la salud y a las culturas.
So the funds that would come from a victory in this case would be managed by the directive board of the Amazon Defense Coalition and would be used for cleanup, environmental cleanup, health, and cultural restoration.
Do you have a sense of how the Ecuadorian government itself is responding, Mitch? Do you have their support? Are they likely to negotiate with Venezuela, which has close ties to Chevron, for example, on your behalf?
Well, it's interesting. Chevron, previously Texaco, advocated for over a decade that this case, which was started in New York, actually would be moved to Ecuador. They won that decision in early 2000s, and the case played out from 2003 until now in Ecuador.
And now they don't like the ruling of the Ecuadorian judge.
That's right. Now they don't like the ruling of the Ecuadorian courts. They're making all sorts of claims, allegations around fraud, etc. But what we're seeing is that you have basically an independent judiciary in Ecuador that has analyzed a wide range of evidence. If you go down to the Ecuadorian Amazon, you will see unlined, open pits, gouged out of the rainforest floor, children ravaged by, cancers, by skin ailments, birth defects. And, the Ecuadorian court has made an honest ruling and found Chevron guilty. Now, how this will play out in terms of enforcement is another matter, and all we do know is that Chevron is spending hundreds of millions of dollars in order to avoid accountability. And the Ecuadorians have come here to the United States basically on the eve of the Chevron shareholder meeting to essentially send a message to Chevron management, to the board of directors, to shareholders that the company needs to own up for their responsibility, that this is presenting an enormous risk and liability to Chevron's investors, and that the time has come for Chevron to do the right thing, pay up and clean up in Ecuador.
Does your success depend to some degree on press attention? You know, there aren't many radio shows or other media who are going to have a Spanish-speaking guest on from Ecuador speaking through a translator. You know, we're not exactly the mainstream media in that respect. So are you going to get the media attention that you need with this trip?
Yeah, so I mean, Chevron has, you know, one of their fundamental sort of global litigation strategies, you know, has been to try to deceive their institutional investors, try to deceive politicians and deceive the media about what really is happening down in Ecuador. Now, what's happening is that an American company created a massive environmental disaster. They've been found guilty, and now they need to essentially pay up and be held accountable for this. They, you know, definitely don't like us speaking to the media. This, in the end, comes down to, you know, their reputation. So the more media, the more press that tell this story and tell it truthfully, I think the better the odds are for Chevron to realize that they can't continue to avoid accountability.
People are asking what can be done to restore people's health. But my understanding is that this case is not actually about the health fallout from the spill. Is that correct?
Well, this case is about, you know, it's about an oil company that, you know, profited for three decades and created a massive environmental disaster. And the environmental contamination still exists in the Amazon. This is about a cleanup, but also this is about health. This is about health. This is about compensation for health, building the infrastructure in order to basically deal with and treat the health fallout from this. And so Chevron's, you know, eventual payment will go to, you know, environmental remediation, health and cultural restoration. We have six indigenous tribes in the Ecuadorian Amazon who have been gravely affected by an American oil company, Chevron, and you know they've lost a lot. You know, and what's inspiring to me, and what I think what's inspiring to all of us, is the courage and the hope that the communities still show. You know, to confront a big oil giant like Chevron.
Humberto, last summer you traveled to the Gulf of Mexico to see some of the damage there from the BP oil spill. What did you see and what did you think when you were there?
El año pasado viajaste ahí al Golfo de México para ver el desastre del BP. ¿Qué viste ahí? ¿Cómo? Sí.
Bueno, sí, tuve esa oportunidad y miré como estaba sucediendo antes en el año 70, desde 64 hasta, bueno, yo recuerdo desde 79 en el Ecuador, la misma situación. Entonces fue muy triste mirar cómo los compañeros indígenas Uma estaban afectados. Y eso fue muy impresionante.
Well, traveling to the Gulf of Mexico right after the BP spill, it reminded us of what happened in our territory in Ecuador from the 60s until, you know, the 90s, where there was massive oil contamination, and it made us very sad to see our indigenous brothers, like the Homa tribe, suffering from similar types of contamination.
All right. Well, we're out of time. When will you be at Chevron? I'll be curious to follow the news reporting at that time.
Yeah, so we're going to be at the Chevron shareholder meeting on May 25th in the Bay Area. We're with a delegation of Ecuadorian indigenous leaders who are going to be bringing a strong message to the world, to Chevron's board of directors, management, and shareholders, that Chevron must clean up and pay up. If folks want more information, please visit AmazonWatch.org. The Ecuadorians have actually issued now an open letter to the United States of America, basically asking for support, telling their story. You can find that letter on AmazonWatch.org, and you can sign the petition in solidarity with the Ecuadorian people.
A complicated case that's been going on in one way or another for 40 years, the latest court ruling here in New York last week, as we've been hearing. Humberto Piaguaje, representative of the Sequoia indigenous people of the Ecuadorian Amazon, and Mitch Anderson, corporate campaigns director at Amazon Watch. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Gracias.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, the legendary owner of the Meatpacking District restaurant, Florent, now closed as the neighborhood changes. Stay with us.